Kentucky has undergone 12 tax reform studies since 1982, and you've recently completed a study with your Blue Ribbon Commission on tax reform over the course of 2012. Considering there have been so many reports, have you found any changes in our tax structure over the last 31 years?
Well, yeah, there's been changes, but what charge that our Blue Ribbon Commission was given by the governor was to make our code more competitive with surrounding states that we compete with for jobs, to make sure that our code was elastic, meaning that when the economy turns around and additional funds occur as a vital, as a vibrant economy will provide, that there would be funds that would go toward the services provided at the state level, that there would be a fairness about the code so that everybody was paying their fair share. Wanted to make it as uncomplicated as possible, so it was as simple to comply with. And then finally, the issue of adequacy. We have had 13 cuts in our existing budget over the last 6 years. We have cut $1.6 billion out of the budget. Now, when there were plenty of funds, plenty of dollars, I think a lot of citizens, including myself, would say government got fat. It was time to begin making some cuts. But when you're cutting Economic Development Department by 30%, when you're cutting education, except for the funding for K through 12, by 34%, you cannot cut your way out of this very financially difficult time that we in this country are suffering through as a result of the recession. So all of that said, the governor charged us to find a better approach through the tax structure, and we made about 54 recommendations after a year of study and listening.
And those 54 recommendations come after consultants associated with the Blue Ribbon Tax Commission estimated that there could be up to a $1 billion shortfall.
By 2020.
Yeah, by 2020. That's in 7 years.
That's right. And that's on top of the $1.6 billion we've already cut. And what he's saying is if we do nothing, by 2020, we'll be another billion short that we'll have to cut.
And your recommendations, you know, just doing the math on the total impact of the 54 recommendations, the annual estimate would add about $659 million to the general fund annually. $485 million will come from raising taxes on retirement benefits. What is it? Their amnesty, no taxing until your retirement benefits exceed $41,000 annually.
Right.
So you would lower that to $31,000. So you're going to be raising taxes on people in the elderly population.
Here's what happened. We were in Bowling Green. A gentleman came forward and he said, you know, my wife and I are both retired. He said, I've got a retirement and she's got a retirement and we both get Social Security. And so we're making $100,000 a year and not paying a nickel in state taxes. And he said to our commission, that's representation without taxation. He said, I don't want to pay a lot of taxes, but he said, I ought to be paying something for my kids and my grandkids to ensure that Kentucky will be the place where they will stay. We heard the same thing from three or four people in eastern Kentucky, in Louisville, and in northern Kentucky, where they said, look around the other states. Most of the states have a threshold of somewhere around $15,000 to $18,000 tax-free, and after that, you pay taxes. We have a situation, as you said, that was over $40,000. So if you make $40,000, your wife makes $40,000, and you have Social Security, you don't pay a nickel, and yet your kids and grandkids who are in the public schools are in a situation where there have been cuts. You're driving the roads where we have less state police on the road than ever before to help you. Yes, that was a recommendation that was made. And let me go back to your point about, you know, if everything was put into effect, it would be $600-some-odd million over time. Many of them would be phased in over time. The governor said to us, and we followed his lead, don't bring politics into the decisions. You call them like you see them, and then we'll find out which ones we can get through the legislature.
Yeah, it's organized in the appendix of the entire report, which we'll find at WKMS.org, categorized into individual income tax, corporate taxes, sales and excise taxes. And to make a note, corporate taxes do go down by $104 million total. Individual income taxes would increase $474 million. Again, this is if it were implemented overall in one fell swoop and
right,
everything was adopted. Again, this is just a recommendation,
right,
which leads me to the question, has any of this been crafted into legislation?
The governor has been focused on meeting with the leadership of the House and the Senate to see which of these we can get some common ground, we can find some common ground on. I know you're going to find this surprising, but right now the only thing that seems to be on the mind of the legislators is the redistricting of their legislative districts.
Which is the topic of a special session in August.
Coming up August 19th, I believe. Yeah. So how much discussion has gone on with the leadership? Not as much as we would have liked. Once the redistricting is done, we feel very confident that the governor, who will be the negotiator, will sit down spend more extensive time with the leadership of the House and the Senate and begin to look at these items that they're willing to agree to and begin to move on.
Considering that it hasn't been crafted into legislation, and you'd mentioned earlier, don't put politics in the discussion, just call them like you see them. But
right. How
do you can't avoid discussion of raising taxes and cutting taxes. I mean, it's coming both ways.
Right.
Without politics entering the picture. House Speaker Greg Stumbo had said in a recent interview with Kentucky Public Radio that you haven't spoken with him at all about the commission's recommendations. Is that something you're ceding to the governor? You said mentioning that he would talk to the leadership, but
you need one negotiator from the executive branch, and we have that negotiator, and the speaker and the president of the Senate have had meetings with the governor on it already.
Mm-hmm.
My job, as I see it, as the chairman of this group, is to speak throughout the state, and I have given, I can't tell you how many speeches to anywhere people will invite me, to make the case of the need that exists for additional revenues and the need that exists based on the services that are not being delivered but are being demanded by citizens throughout Kentucky. And so that's my role.
What I don't quite understand is why would the speaker, who is of the same party,
mm-hmm.
he's a Democrat and he leads the House, why would he be throwing you under the bus by saying you haven't talked with him if the governor is the chief negotiator?
You know, I was surprised at that. I mean, it's a fact I haven't. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for a fact that the governor has had meetings with them. Now, not as many lately as I would have liked, because they're not as interested,
mm-hmm.
because of the redistricting.
Considering that you can't separate the politics from it once it moves into the legislature, are you concerned that the issue of either passing or not passing tax reform could have an impact on your political future?
No, I'm not concerned at all.
If you look at the national political conversation, though, and it is cut, 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 for someone like you who the question remains whether or not you want to run for governor in 2015, and you're championing an effort that will raise tax revenue for the state,
right?
You know, that doesn't concern you at all.
Not at all. I mean, I'm championing a Blue Ribbon Commission's report that cuts taxes in some areas and raises taxes in other areas, but ultimately becomes a code that is more competitive, so that we can do better with our competition for businesses and jobs, and invest more money in education.
And considering it's not on the special session's agenda coming into the 2014 legislative session, which is a budget year, are you hopeful that it will make it to the floor in both chambers?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's our game plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you also have the ability, as you were said, when politics comes into play, that budget's a very big budget. And so you have give and take that you could do with the tax issues, too. So it gives you a much bigger playing field to be able to cut and paste and put together something that ultimately makes a difference in a positive way.
You've mentioned in the press 4 weeks ago that you'd make a decision in 4 to 6 weeks about running for governor in 2015. Well, today marks 4 weeks.
Right.
Are you going to make a statement today?
No. But I hope to make a statement the next couple of weeks. I mean, you know,
Fancy Farm?
Probably before Fancy Farm.
Before Fancy
think.
Farm?
Or right thereafter, I would think.
Because, I mean, you have the opportunity with Jack Conway there, the attorney general who's interested. Many of your fellow Democrats are interested, so it could be a large field of interested Democrats. Is there a strategy to announcing before any other?
No, you know, I when I ran for mayor the first time, and I was mayor of Louisville for 5 terms, 2 of which were the city-county merger, that meant that my constituency was 740,000 people, which is a significant part of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. When I ran for mayor, I never really cared about who else was going to run. I'll make my own decision in terms of whether I want to do it, whether I feel like I can make a difference in the future of Kentucky, which is really the answer. The answer for me as I'm going through this yes, no, up, down is if you're going to spend a year and a half raising $15 million, if you're going to sit at the phone and make calls 4 hours a day, and have a fundraiser or two every night trying to raise money at $1,000 a clip. Do the math when you need $15 million. Once you win, and the polling shows I can win, the question becomes, can you really be a transformational public servant and make a significant difference in the future of Kentucky? If you can't, you know, I don't need to tread water and just enjoy the state police and living in the mansion and eating the great food and all the kind of bells and whistles that come with it. I'm beyond that. I need to feel confident that if I'm going to spend a year and a half, all of that pain and suffering of raising money, and oh, by the way, raising more money, that I can, once I win, really make a difference. And I'm not there yet. And that's what I'm thinking through.
Kentucky Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson, thanks very much for your time.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much.